tools should be the last thing that we talk about when it comes to AI implementation. We need to first see, where does it fit? And then we can start thinking about, now, which tools are going to be the best for making sure that it meets these needs and values that we've identified.
Hello there, and welcome to today's episode of the Easy EdTech Podcast. I am so excited you're here. If we haven't met before, my name is Monica Burns. I started the Easy EdTech Podcast in 2019 to share my favorite tips, tricks, and strategies for technology integration. With over 200 episodes to choose from, including new ones each week, you'll hear stories from my time in the classroom, the work I do now with schools and districts, and updates on my travels to different EdTech events. Each episode is designed to give you ideas you can try yourself, share with a colleague, or bookmark for later in the school year. Don't forget to look for the link to the show notes in the description of this episode. You'll find that link right below the episode summary in every podcast app. This episode is sponsored by my free ebook of ChatGPT prompts for educators. Do you want 60 plus prompts at your fingertips? Grab my free ebook of prompts that you can use with any chatbot, including but not limited to ChatGPT. It's ready for you to try now. You can snag the PDF at classtechtips.com/chatgptbook or DM me on Instagram at Class Tech Tips if you're on the go today, and I'll get you the download link ASAP. These AI writing prompts are perfect for educators looking to give chatbots a whirl. Don't miss out on this freebie resource that will surely save you time this school year. This week's episode is titled Tips for Making an AI Framework for Your School, and I'm so excited for you to listen to this conversation. Dr. Blades and I met earlier this year at the Shift in EDU conference in Florida, and I sat in on her session on AI. I loved everything she had to share about developing frameworks, and I asked her if she could join the podcast to share some of her advice and insights. Let's dive into the conversation. Welcome to the podcast. I am so excited to chat with you about using a framework to think about AI and education. But before we jump into all of that, can you share a bit with listeners? What is your role in education? What does your day-to-day look like?
Yeah, well, first of all, Monica, thank you for having me. This is really exciting, because this is one of the podcasts that I follow closely. So thank you. My name is Dr. Marquita Blades. I am, in my day-to-day life, a full-time education consultant. So that means I travel around the country working with individual schools or entire districts around all things instruction.
And when we were together in Florida earlier this fall, I sat in one of your sessions around AI. And one of the things that really stood out to me, because I think it's such an important part of this AI conversation, is the framework. And, you know, today we're talking about AI and using a framework to think about the use of artificial intelligence in schools. So can you start by explaining for listeners what it means to use a framework when considering AI in education?
Yeah, so I think as I started to delve into AI, I saw most people kind of jumping into platforms. And because I'm a science person, I kind of started thinking more about process. And that led me to also just considering all of the concerns that I knew teachers would have with using AI. So it's always great to have some sort of expectations and norms in place for anything that we're going to do in the classroom, and AI should be no different. So when I talk about having a framework, it's really around what will be the place of AI in our classrooms, and then what will be acceptable use policies, what's not acceptable. When should we use it? When should we not use it? And all of those kind of things.
And one of the things that I think jumped out for me, and I'm sure for you too, this past year, right, is there's a lot of excitement and hesitation, right? I sometimes say, like, feel all your feelings about this space. And it can be tempting, especially when we're excited about anything new, to just jump in and say, we'll deal with it later, right? Or we'll think about these other implications later on. I just want to jump right in. And I definitely understand where that feeling comes from. But can you describe a basic framework that schools can start with when thinking about integrating AI into the classroom?
So I call it creating an AI culture in the classroom. And there's not a certain defined framework that any school should use, but what I suggest is starting with what we value in our school building and in our classrooms, and kind of defining what those core values are. So I have actually created templates for what I call our AI culture statement. Mm-hmm. And that's just a short statement that either at the classroom level or building level, leaders, and I would suggest all the main stakeholders, so from principal down to students, have these discussions in your building around what's important to us overall academically, and then how do we tie those values into how we use AI. So a simple framework just might be a statement. In this building, we will use AI, and name two or three ways that you're going to use it to advance, and then also name two or three goals that you have for what you want to see, what outcomes you want to produce from using AI.
And what I think is so powerful about that is you're really taking things that everyone's kind of agreed upon already, like your values, and then you're layering this implementation or this integration of AI into that work. So it's not like another thing or in a separate lane, but it's aligned to all of those goals.
Absolutely. And we haven't even discussed any tools yet. And as a matter of fact, tools should be the last thing that we talk about when it comes to AI implementation. We need to first see, where does it fit? And then we can start thinking about, now, which tools are going to be the best for making sure that it meets these needs and values that we've identified.
Yeah. And that's just such a great place to start, right? Or, you know, and we talk about the importance of having this, you know, structured approach and really understanding why we're even talking about AI, right? And why it's something that is worthy of everyone. And, you know, in education, we're all super busy with lots of long to-do lists and things that we're prioritizing. So, you know, why is it important for K-12 educators to have a structured approach to understanding and implementing AI?
Well, I think it's just like any other instructional approach. If you're using PBL, if you're doing differentiation, if you're doing universal design for learning, these are all frameworks. And then if we want to go to the administrative level, maybe they're using Danielson's framework for coaching, like all of those things, right? They're outlines and they provide us somewhat of a roadmap. They provide standards, if you will, if your school wants to get that specific. And I actually suggest that you do. And that's why I've created some of the tools that I've created for schools. But it's important to have something to follow so that there is no ambiguity, so that it's not up to teacher interpretation, which it kind of goes against the whole idea that teachers are creative people and we want to express ourselves. And I do get that. And there's a lot of room for that. But because there's still so much that we don't know, and there's a lot of training that we haven't had around AI, especially in the beginning, it's important to have that framework to follow.
Yeah. And I do think there's creativity in some of these constraints, right? You know, you mentioned that importance of, you know, the teacher autonomy and making choices and being creative in instruction, but we can still work alongside a framework to really make sure everyone's on the same page. And, you know, I was just in Texas at an event this past week and someone was talking about the Danielson framework, right, as their anchor for what she was working on. And we were talking about it next to, you know, some chatbot support that could help her generate ideas. But she was leveraging that framework, right, to guide what she was going to do next. And, you know, as we're talking today about AI, having that guidance or a roadmap, if you will, You know, what are some common misconceptions educators might have right now about AI? What's possible, what's not possible, and its role in education?
Well, I'll speak to the role of, I think, first, the main two misconceptions is that AI is going to either take away teachers' jobs or it's going to prevent our students from thinking critically or doing anything on their own. And as far as teachers' jobs are concerned, AI certainly could enhance what we're doing. I think that it would actually allow us to capitalize on the talents and skills that we have that we don't often get to use a lot more if we're using AI to enhance or to streamline some of those administrative tasks that keep us too busy to now tap into our talents. And then on the student side, we've had so many things that have been invented or introduced into our students' lives over the years, and we always thought they were going to take over. We always thought they were going to end the thought process for kids, and it usually just allowed them to now learn different ways to either be creative or, on the other side of that, different ways to cheat. But like I tell people, students who want to cheat will always find a way to do it. They were doing it in the one-room schoolhouse, and they're going to do it with AI. But I found that more often than not, with new inventions, it just kind of pushed teachers to another level of how we wanted to express our passion and the types of activities that we would have our students engage in. So I think those are somewhat valid concerns, but they definitely should not keep us up at night.
And I do agree with you that there's a shifting that needs to take place, right? Like before Wikipedia, we might have thought differently, right, about what students' research might look like online. And there was a lot of, you know, energy around the oh no of a space like that. But we pivoted, right, or we shifted, or we took that into account when having conversations with students, right, as opposed to just pretending like, you know, this is going to take over forever.
Well, yeah, and what it did was it allowed teachers outside of ELA to now start addressing validity of information and sources. So it just brought another enrichment into our classrooms. I know as a science teacher, I spent a lot of time talking to my students about the validity of research and how they could support conclusions that they were coming to at the end of our lab investigation. So it just really gave me another way to engage them and enrich what they were learning.
Absolutely. And as we are thinking about some tools and some use cases, how can a framework help educators differentiate between beneficial AI tools and those that might be bright and shiny, but not as impactful?
So I think within creating a framework or culture of AI in your classroom or your school building, you will then come up with a set of questions that could be your decision guide or, you know, some yes and no's. Will it do this? Yes, I'll use it. Can it do that? No, I will not. But what are those things that are important? So what's the functionality? How much time am I going to invest into learning this platform? How accessible is it from school devices? Is it something that my students would also have access to and that they could possibly be using it for the exact same function as myself? So what about the exclusivity? Is it strictly for professionals or is it open to anyone? All of those factors should play into the selection of which AI platforms are going to be beneficial and which ones are not.
I love those questions, especially for, say, a team of teachers, whether they have self-selected, right, or they're working, right, side by side with administrators who may be making recommendations, you know, across the school or district. I think those are really helpful for them to evaluate, you know, what's going to be the right fit, right, for their particular school community. So as we, you know, are thinking today about things that maybe, you know, you've seen in the field, we were just together about a month ago down at a school in Florida, you know, as an example, you know, what are some ways or some examples of AI being effectively integrated into educational settings, especially where they're using a structured framework?
So again, like I've really been more so on the process side of it. And while there are a lot of tools, I'm also a creature of a habit. So I've kind of stayed within the tools that I have become accustomed to. So I will share within the platforms that I use frequently, I would have to say Padlet has added a lot of AI functions within the platform. And so one of the things I do like to recommend to teachers is that if you're nervous about AI, start the platforms that you're already using and exercising those AI features first so that you can get comfortable with what artificial intelligence can do within something that you're already working with. But I will say Khan Academy, and it's not super new, but it's kind of new. Uh-huh. They have launched this tutoring AI that can help students really to practice some of those essential skills in their course areas. Now, I don't personally know any schools that are using it. This is from my research and things that I'll be sharing with schools, but I think that's excellent for students who are chronic absentees or for students who are working several grade levels behind. It would allow the teacher to work with more small groups in their class. So I think I should just say, this is an aside. I was having a conversation with someone, I don't remember where, well, it was actually a parent. And she said that a teacher told her that her daughter was going into small groups and she didn't like it. And I had to explain to her that small groups are not a bad thing and that all students at all achievement levels benefit from working in small groups. So as I think about things like the Khan Academy Tutor or another platform that I personally love for science is Inkit, which is a science inquiry platform that doesn't require any prompting, but it does work via AI because it walks students through the inquiry process and it will not allow them to move on to the next step in an investigation until they correct mistakes. But it does have a built-in chatbot that guides their thinking so that they can go back and correct their hypothesis. And then they can go back and make corrections to their data collection and different things like that. So those two are amazing. But when I think about those kind of platforms, they free the teacher up to give students other types of attention that they might need that teachers otherwise would not have time to give them.
And I think that's one of the components of the AI integration, not only the first piece that you mentioned, which I think is so important to really celebrate experiences that might feel like they're ones we've already had, right? Like using AI in the tools that are already part of our tool belt. But then also, you know, that second piece of reframing the conversation on ways you're saving time and making sure that people understand the impact here might be beyond writing a poem with ChatGPT, but that you're saving time from an instructional standpoint that you could reallocate, right, to those interventions or to that instructional time with a group. So I think that's such an important piece as educators are saying, you know, what are our goals? What are our values? Like building their framework off of that, you know, to come back to. So as we look into the future here, which I think is moving kind of fast, how do you envision the evolving relationship between AI and education? And how can having a framework or a roadmap really help adapt to these changes that we can anticipate or ones that we might not expect?
You know, this is really unfortunate to say, but I see a lot of rules being put into place. And I see just a continuation of a lot of the division that we already see in terms of districts that are embracing technology and those that aren't. I feel like this is just one more thing that schools are going to be either all in on or they're going to be all out on. And it's going to just continue to perpetuate the achievement gap that we have experienced for years. Now, you had a second half of your question that I can't remember.
Well, really around that framework component. Yeah.
Right.
And how the framework can help just tackle, just like you said, right? The fact that there could be some divisiveness around this in the future, or just new things that come on the scene that we might not think of just yet.
Well, I think the framework would just provide a baseline for all educators of what those minimal expectations are. And if we could just create a mindset shift around this is the minimum, and these are the benefits that you're going to get. And if you're just doing this much with it, you've done well as far as AI is concerned. And then, of course, we're always going to have those teachers who are going to just spearhead and be the leaders. And then everybody else will eventually get on board, as we do with everything else.
And I think that foundation, right, to just drive these conversations for all the things that we know or could anticipate happening, as well as the things that might happen in the future, is so important. And that's one of the reasons why, you know, I love your emphasis on setting a roadmap, aligning it with your school culture and values. And it's just something that I think as more and more educators take a step back, right, and think about what they're doing with AI, is going to be very important for, you know, the second half of the school year and beyond. So Dr. Blades, where can people connect with you? Where can they learn more about your work?
Well, they can connect with me in all ways, starting from my website. And from there, they can get to upcoming seminars. They can connect with me on social media. So my website is powerfulteaching.com. That's P-O-W-A-R-R teaching.com.
Perfect. And we'll link out to anyone who's listening today. They can click on all the links and follow along. Thank you so much for your time today.
Thank you so much, Monica.
It was so much fun chatting with Dr. Blades for this episode about a topic that I know you know, if you're a regular listener to the podcast, at least, I am very passionate about. It's been a lot of fun traveling around this year, meeting educators like Dr. Blades who are super passionate about this topic, and of course, sharing lots of favorites along the way. So let's finish up this episode, like we always do, with a few key points. Connect your values to your AI goals. Think about strategies before tools. Reframe the conversation on ways you're saving time. Remember, you can find the show notes and the full list of resources from today's episode, including all of the ways to find Dr. Blades, on classtechtips.com/podcast and finding today's episode number 239. This episode is sponsored by my free ebook of ChatGPT prompts for educators. Do you want 60 plus prompts at your fingertips? Grab my free ebook of prompts that you can use with any chatbot, including but not limited to ChatGPT. It's ready for you to try now. You can snag the PDF at classtechtips.com/ChatGPT book or DM me on Instagram at classtechtips if you're on the go today, and I'll get you the download link ASAP. These AI writing prompts are perfect for educators looking to give chatbots a whirl. Don't miss out on this freebie resource that will surely save you time this school year. Thank you for tuning in to another Tuesday episode of the Easy EdTech Podcast. Stay tuned this fall for a few bonus episodes. Instead of Sundays like we've done this past year, they're going to shift to Fridays. Not every Friday, but every once in a while. So make sure you're listening on a podcast app where you can hit the follow button. That way, every new episode, not just Tuesdays, but the bonus ones too, will pop up for you as soon as they go live. And if you want to share an idea from today's episode, maybe with a friend or a colleague, you can send the link to them as a text or even tweet or post it on your favorite social media platform. You can find me there too. Just tag me at Class Tech Tips with any takeaways or questions.